This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
John was asking you earlier, you're making the case that these are not new policies he's talking about, and yet the question still remains. He is delving into a policy and political discussion, and he and you were very clear after the Las Vegas shooting that it wasn't appropriate to talk about policy. So what's the difference now?
I said it wasn't appropriate to politicize the conversation, which I don't believe we are. We're talking about protecting American lives, and there are things that this president has consistently and repeatedly talked about, advocated for, pushed for, introduced executive orders for, supported legislation for, time and time again since long before he was even president of the United States, that support this position. It's not a new position. There are facts that we know about this horrific tragedy that we know caused some of the things in this horrific tragedy that I think determine what those policy positions that he's been advocating for long before yesterday are very consistent with the activity that could have prevented something like this from happening.
The president invoked Chuck Schumer's name, so how can you argue that it's not a political argument?
Senator Schumer has supported these opposing policies, and I think that that is a very basic fact. Margaret,
he's not unifying the country. He's failing to unify the country.
He helped implement them on the front end long before the Gang of Eight. And the Gang of Eight would have only addressed one part of that problem, as we've talked about many times before. He may have helped isolate one part of the problem, but it would have exacerbated so many other parts of the problem that fall within our immigration system. If you only address one part and not in the totality of it and introduce a fully and more responsible immigration reform like the president has proposed, like the president has outlined, then you're not addressing the problem. You're not fixing the problem. You're only making things worse. Margaret. Margaret.
Because you're running the world, and I know that's one of the questions, is like raising our men. We got to rest. Talking to my mother about that the other day.
Yes.
It's like the problem in the world today is we love our boys. And we raise our girls, you know? We raise them to be strong, and sometimes we take care not to hurt men. And and I think we pay for that a little bit.
Mm.
And that's a we thing, because we're raising them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful to have strong men, but what does that strength mean?
Mm.
You know, does it mean respect? Does it mean responsibility? Does it mean compassion? Or are we protecting our men too much? So they feel a little entitled and a little, a little self-righteous sometimes. But that's kind of on us too, as women and
yep.
mothers.
Yeah.
You know, as we nurture men and push girls to be perfect.
Mm.
Follows another person.
The reasoning of your opinions, your philosophy, is described as alternatively formalistic, rigid. Strictly conservative. How do you describe your philosophy, Justice?
I think it's get it right. It's the I think we are required to reason to a conclusion, and that's what we try to do, and try to do it in a way that it is accessible to regular people. I think when people don't agree with you, you said you're going to a football game. I am a huge Nebraska fan.
Yeah, we're getting into that, by the way, the Cornhuskers.
No, I mean, we're not doing that. We're doing okay, but not great.
Yeah.
The volleyball team, my favorite team.
Oh, great.
Fabulous.
Okay, well, good.
So,
how's the field hockey team doing?
No, volleyball
okay.
is a big deal. We have over 8,000 people per game.
That's amazing.
So people have a tendency in sports that to be outcome oriented. So you want a particular outcome. You want to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
If the referees make a call consistent with the outcome you prefer, then you say the referee did a great job. because that referee has somehow benefited or made possible the outcome you want. I think we have to be careful not to take...
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop me. What's that sound? Everybody,
it is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information right there that you need to know is easy, handy, and reachable. And enjoy yourself. Find out how you can connect with any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have around this great country of ours, even via shortwave, Red State Talk Radio, the cable radio network as well, the digital network. Hey, we're all happy to deliver and be what you need us to be, and that is committed to pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. And to this end, Steve Weidenkopf joins us now. He's a lecturer in church history at the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College in Alexandria, Virginia. He's creator and co-author of Epic, A Journey Through Church History, and the author and presenter of the Early Church Adult Faith Formation Study. Steve, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, good to have you here. Excuse a little bit of the background noise. They tell me it's only going to be here for just a couple of more seconds, so we'll weather through it. Hopefully it's not annoying enough to you. But I want to talk, first of all, before we get into the real story of Catholic history, give us an update on EPIC, A Journey Through Church History.
Yeah, sure. So EPIC is, as you mentioned, adult faith formation program, a church history program. Mm-hmm. It's in multiple parishes, throughout the country, actually, and even in Houston, I think in some places in Canada as well. So it kind of walks people through the 2,000-year history of our Catholic Church, and does so by dividing our 2,000 years of history into 12 different time periods. Each time period is given a color so people can help to memorize remember the main event of what's going on in that time period of church history. So it's a little memory device. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten great feedback on it. It's been out for a number of years now, so I'm very pleased with it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been something needed for a long time to have, this broken down to where people understand, where the church has evolved through the process, because you've been able to clear up, some of the misunderstandings, let's call them for, leave it at that, that have surrounded, as you say, it really is an epic when you consider the Catholic Church and its history.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the church has really contributed immensely to the formation of Western civilization and in so many different areas, in the legal area, in economics even, politically, obviously, and just giving, the world really a worldview rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and mm-hmm. Proclaimed to every corner of the globe by the church. And so often, unfortunately, as we see in our modern world, the church is frequently attacked for the things that she has done. And there's a lot of, as you mentioned, myths and misrepresentations that exist about her history. And so one of the major aspects of my focus of my work and my teaching and speaking and writing is to dispel those myths and present authentic Catholic history to the world.
Well, we know this tension exists and has existed from day one. Jesus said very clearly, hey, if you think it's going to be easy for you, just think about how they treated me after all they crucified me. And as defenders of the faith and, you know, the church that Jesus Christ came to establish, which he said the gates of hell would not prevail against. I mean, even with that announcement, it clearly warned us that we're going to be in for a fight here, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And when you study the history of the church, really, the kind of the central theme throughout all church history really is that theme of persecution, right? Where, as you correctly point out, you know, the Lord was persecuted violently so by the, you know, the legal authority, the governmental authority of his time. And obviously that, he said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you, as you mentioned. So that's exactly what's happened throughout the history of the church. And even in those time periods where you think that church and state were a little bit more, maybe more closely aligned, you know, or the faith permeated society, at least even in those times, you still see, you know, an occasion, not necessarily bloody persecution, but definitely, you know, unbloody or non-bloody persecution in terms of the political realm as well as other areas. So that is the central theme. And even in our own day and age, you know, not too long ago, the Second Vatican Council, you know, encouraged all Catholics to be aware that, you know, we might be called to martyrdom ourselves and that we should be, you know, rooted in the Lord and know our faith well in order to defend it in case those times come.
Well, and you think of the early martyrs, but before we do and unravel that just a little bit, Steve, I want to go back and stop and for just a moment and consider, you know, the persecution not only came from the local political power force at the time, but also, you know, from the religious leaders at the time. So it warns us that persecution is equal opportunity, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the Christians began, you know, the Christian church began as a small kind of sect of Judaism, and there was much persecution there. I mean, the first martyr of the church, you know, St. Stephen was stoned to death, you know, by order of the Sanhedrin because of his proclamation of Jesus Christ crucified, died and risen. And, you know, and so that's continued to our own day and age. And unfortunately, you know, we've even had divisions within the church that have fractured the church or cleaved the church. To the point where even today, you know, Christians, although maybe in agreement on certain central basic doctrines, unfortunately are very divided in our modern world. And that wasn't the plan of God to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you think that, you know, now going to the martyrs and, you know, as you mentioned, St. Stephen, the first martyr, and the martyrs, the early martyrs of the church that were willing to put it all on the line for the sake of Christ. They knew something, and that, you know, I guess, how do you put it, Steve, that they knew something so definitive that they were willing to put their own lives on the line for it. And the call for modern day martyrdom is there, even though we may die every day as Christians, dying to self, but we're not shedding any blood. But there may become that point, to your point, that we start shedding blood on behalf of what, you know, we really believe in.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, those early Christian martyrs, as you mentioned, I mean, they were, you know, full of love for Christ and love for his church and were, you know, refused, you know, at the point of death, as you point out, to sacrifice to those Roman pagan gods. And, you know, even to the point of, you know, being, you know, shown instruments of torture or, you know, knowing that their staunch defense of their faith would lead to their death, they nonetheless maintained that great faith and are known as martyrs, which, you know, from the Greek means witness. They gave the ultimate witness of their life to for the world, right? And so, and one of the things that's important to know, at least for us in the modern world, about the witness of the martyrs is that not only their own personal heroic sacrifice, but the fact that sacrifice kind of awakened others in their society. So, you know, we have accounts from Tacitus and others that show that you know, the example of the martyrs kind of spurred on questions from the larger Roman pagan society. Why are these people doing this? Why are they willing to suffer so horribly and die over this God, this Christian God, who is this Christ? And so it led to the people of Rome at the time to investigate the faith and ask those questions of their own. So it's a stark reminder for us in the modern world that, you know, how we live our faith, how we die, as you say, each day to ourselves and grow deeper with Christ, gives an example to others.
Yeah, and following the example of Christ himself, who willingly went to the cross. And when you talk about martyrs here, we're not talking somebody who said, hey, I'm part of the jihad. I'm going to kill a bunch of people and get killed in the process and claim some sort of martyrdom along the way. This is a different type of aspect of martyrdom altogether. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Steve Weidenkopf is our guest. I'm Bill Martinez at 15 after the top of the hour.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
When I look back over my life,
thank you.
And all the times you brought me through,
thank you.
I just want to say, Father, thank you.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you.
Let me hear you say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Nothing like an attitude of gratitude, huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. 19 after the top of the hour. You know, I so appreciate church history, and we're cautioned throughout the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. I think over 250 times we're reminded to remember. And maybe we need the reminding to remember, because it's so easy for us to forget. And we're grateful for the talents and gifts of Steve Weidenkamp, who is a lecturer in church history at the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College in Alexandria, Virginia. He's written books. We're going to be talking about his latest book, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths, in just a moment. But, Steve, just to kind of wrap up the concept against the the differential in understanding, you know, we hear this is the one thing about the English language is so dynamic. It's always changing, you know, where good can be bad and bad can mean good. And when we talk about being a martyr and we compare it to the martyrs of the early church, quite a bit different than the modern day martyr, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Christian martyrdom is rooted in, you know, selfless love, really. Mm-hmm. It's the giving of one's life for something greater, right? For Christ and for the church, or even for the larger Christian community. And it, mm-hmm. it's the motivation of it is always out of love. It's never something that's done as a part of violence or as a part of anger or hatred towards another person or another group, which is sadly not necessarily what we see with many of the groups today that you know, participate in so-called martyrdom.
Right. Well, you know, again, in following Jesus' example, to your point, this is why Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen echoed basically the same sentiments other martyrs in the church history, knowing that what they were doing was against God's law. But it was because in part of ignorance, in part of the devil and evil that exists in this realm, and we run into evil, you know, every day. It is still prevalent, and there's still that opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, where we are as examples of Christ, not necessarily shedding blood, but dying to ourselves on a daily basis, that there would be more of God, more of Christ in us, and less of who we think we are.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that's, you know, those words from St. John the Baptist, right, in the Gospel of John. I mean, I must decrease and he must increase. I mean,
exactly.
Every Christian, by virtue of baptism, is called to do that, right? To mm-hmm. to embrace the cross of the suffering given to us by Christ and by God, and to be that light of Christ in the world to others, and to show His love and His mercy and His compassion as well, and to bring the light of Him to those whom He brings into our own life.
You know, I think about this, Steve. That the impact the early martyrs must have had. Here they go willingly to their death. I mean, you already have Jesus who takes up the cross, willingly dies after demonstrating all this power. And as he said, he could call on legions of angels to clear the decks if that's what he wanted to do. But that's not what the Father wanted. And he yielded to the Father's will. And here they are. They're watching what happens with Christ. Pretty dramatic, and then his followers follow his example and do the same, and they're going, what is it about this Jesus that these, seemingly normal people, God-loving, God-fearing, people that contributed to the community, as you say, were agents of love, and they're following Christ's example and willingly subject themselves to martyrdom.
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, it's kind of that paradox, right? I mean, it causes people to stop and to think. And again, it's the whole point of, you know, giving witness for mm-hmm. one's faith in Christ and the church. And, it's always something that again is done, out of a selfless act. I mean, it's something that not everyone is called to that ultimate witness of martyrdom necessarily in terms of one's life and shedding blood. But even as we talked about earlier in the last segment about, you know, dying to oneself, I mean, mm-hmm. Even in a period of non-active persecution of the church in terms of violence, you had the creation of, you know, Christian monasteries and different monastic orders. And that was, you know, joining the monastery was an act of dying to oneself, in essence. And so, living that life of the monastery, living the life of the rule of your monastery was all designed in order that you become less and he becomes more. And that's the whole point of our Christian faith. And one way in which the faith has been spread and in an effective way is again, through the shedding of the blood of those great martyrs and great witnesses of our church history.
Yeah, and it's amazing the doors that are opened up as a result of that, you know, supernatural power and you know, that is, you know, that comes along, you know, that ministry or that example, you know, that knocks down walls, that, you know, breaks up families and you know, and breaks them up in a way that is, you know, ultimately positive, doesn't break up to destroy, but breaks up in order to, add to the proposition of the family, add a dimension of the family, some spiritual aspect that before had not been realized. And we've seen this happen time and again, Steve. And again, it's supernatural. It's powerful. It is a witness in and of itself.
Yeah, very true. You know, the Christian faith demands a response, right? I mean, unlike some of these other philosophy, you know, other ideas in the history of human civilization or philosophies or things, all of which the faith is not. But, you know, those different ideas or thoughts or philosophies, opinions, you know, most of them don't require any kind of response. You can either agree with it or you can just walk away from it. But the Christian faith, right, and Christ himself, and his actions, you know, demands a response on our part. We either have to willfully choose to believe and make that ascent of faith and give our lives to Christ and the church, or we make the willful decision to reject that. And so, you know, because of that, it mentioned, as you say, you know, that causes sometimes division among families, friends, nations even. So, you know, that's the unique kind of aspect of the Christian faith as opposed to all these other different ideas and thoughts in the world or other religions.
And when you say it demands a response, the demand comes from God himself who gave his son. I mean, that's what we need to hold into perspective here. This is not like some neighbor, you know, or some political pundit or, you know, a president of a nation saying, okay, you know, let me hear your response. This is the very God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, that says, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, he who created us, right, in his own image and likeness. I mean, from the beginning of creation, right, that call has been there. You know, do you love me? Do you trust me? Right.
And exactly.
Unfortunately, you know, evil, Satan enters into the picture in the beginning of our first parents' story and challenges them. And they did not answer well. Right. And the consequences of their answer has affected all of humanity since. But you're exactly right. This is not just, you know, some pope or some bishop or this or that or whatever. This is a direct, you know, call from God that we all are called to answer because we're made in his image and likeness.
Exactly. And the situation here, as you say, you know, with our first parents making the humongous mistake that they made, the thing that was missing, that was clearly missing in the story, was God himself. And so that in of itself, Steve, tells us clearly is that this is what happens when you depart from God. You can make some dire mistakes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, Steve Weidenkopf is with us. We're going to be talking next, I promise, about his new book, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths. He's a lecturer in church history at the Notre Dame Graduate School of Christendom College in Alexandria, Virginia. Stay with us, America. Just about 29 minutes right now. We're coming on after the top of the hour.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you for giving true love. I am a life that was changed.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Especially when you know who made the day, right? It gives you cause to rejoice and be glad in it. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Steve Weitenkopf is with us. We're talking about his brand new book, The Real Story of Catholic History, Answering 20 Centuries of Anti-Catholic Myths. Steve, we kind of touched on this before, but just to start from the beginning of your motivation for the book, why did you write it?
Yeah, well, I noticed in my my teaching and my speaking, throughout the country, different parishes and things, that there's a lot of misunderstanding, myths, and mischaracterizations of the church's history, and not only among non-Catholics, but even frankly among some Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what I wanted to do was try to dispel some of these modern myths and misrepresentations that exist about the faith, these kind of false narratives. And so I sat down and collected a collection of 55 of the most common myths that one might hear among their family members, coworkers, friends, and decided to kind of pull the thread on those and give an understanding as to where the myth maybe comes from, where it originates, how to refute it with authentic history. And then I end each of those chapters in the book with a little segment I call The Real Story, which is just a short little kind of, written soundbite, so to speak, on how to answer that objection or that myth, when you talk to a coworker, a friend, or a family member in a quick and concise manner.
Yeah, if you had 40 more myths, we could have done 95 myths and hammered it on a door somewhere in a church. What do you think?
would have been a lot of press for that, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, why not? We can bring it back one more time. The common theme associated with all these myths, what did you find?
Yeah, even though many of these myths are just, they have, maybe at their center, different, points of contention or whatnot, any all the myths from the early church all the way to the modern world. I mean, the central theme really is this desire on the part of those who create the myths to discredit the Catholic Church and right. to really limit her influence in the world. That's really the central theme in all of these different myths.
And it's interesting with myths that come up like that, and this is why we need apologists and people who are wired to defend the faith, is that, they're not running, scared, from these challenges. This is a way to exercise the faith and to know that you really know.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's incumbent upon, every Catholic, I think, to know the history of our faith. This is, we're supposed to know our faith and know the scriptures and other things. So should we too know our own history? Because frankly, predominantly in the English speaking world, at least for the last 500 years, Catholic history has been presented from a predominantly English Protestant perspective. And so there's been some elements of that are not, not authentic to the Catholic story. And that story needs to be told and needs to be learned.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that happens, again, because it is dynamic and it seems like, as the Bible refers to the spirit of the age, different myths will be a little bit more pronounced. And this is why you need to keep the blade sharp and understand what is the prevailing myth that's out there and how do you combat it. And if you're not having a conversation, if you're not studying to show yourself approved, you're going to be knocked over, and even worse yet, God forbid that you would lose your faith altogether because you were challenged for something that, you really have the answers. But if you're not studying to show yourself approved, you're out there with no blade, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even, and I mentioned this in the book, there was back in the 19th century, Pope Leo XIII, in his letter that opened up the Vatican Library to outside researchers to come in and use the material there, he mentions exactly the point that you make, that, if Catholics don't know their own history, then they're apt to be taught that history by the world. And the world, in many ways, does not have a favorable opinion of the Church. And so, especially if you learn that false history at a young age, as you grow older, more often than not, you won't do the research, to undo those myths that you learned in most cases. And so those are really hard to, those myths that people, grab onto when they're in school, it's hard to then eradicate them later on. It's not impossible, obviously, but very, very difficult because you learned it at such an early age.
Yeah, without a doubt. You've got some things to remediate along the way. These 55 myths, why these myths? Steve.
Yeah, well, I wanted to try to take some of the most common myths that people heard, and I broke them down into different time periods. So there's a section in my book on the early church, myths associated with that, a section on the Crusades, Inquisition, modern world, Reformation, Renaissance, Middle Ages, all the kind of major historical time periods. But when I started out to write the book, I had surveyed friends, family, colleagues, asked, what are some kind of common anti-Catholic historical myths that you hear? And I got a whole lot of responses, frankly. And
I bet you did.
I had to pare those down mm-hmm. to kind of a digestible chunk here. And so I did it by time period, and it kind of worked out to about 55, which I thought was a nice number for good size for the book.
Well, we have a limited amount of time here, so let's go and check each of these eras, and let's take the major myths of the era. You say the early church. What was the big myth that stuck out for you then?
Yeah, well, one of the interesting myths in the early church is this idea, and it's very prevalent, actually, in the modern world, of the fact that Jesus was a myth, like that Jesus himself didn't actually exist. And there are people that postulate this myth, which actually is not a new myth. I mean, it's kind of popular in the modern world, but it was in the early age and the early church as well, the Roman authors that doubted who Jesus said he was, at least. They didn't doubt the fact that he existed. But mm-hmm. So you have people that say, well, there's no extra, non-biblical sources for Jesus, which is not true. There are, and they're obviously ignorant of those. Or they say that, you can't trust the New Testament idea or the New Testament story of who Jesus is because that's biased. It's Christian writing. And so many of them will just say, well, there's elements of Jesus's life, too, for example, his virgin birth, this or that, that have echoes in Eastern religions or Egyptian mystery cults. So therefore, the Christians obviously just kind of made this figure up. And many pundits today that are really, atheist at heart, or a secular humanist, you use this myth to try to discredit the church. And because if you can try to somewhat, quote, prove that Jesus was just a myth, then obviously everything he's taught and everything the church stands for is up for debate and even just to be cast aside.
Let's ignore all the Old Testament prophecy, what God said was going to happen, and all the prophecy that Jesus fulfilled on his coming.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, you know, Roman sources and other non-Christian sources that point to the fact that there was this historical man named Jesus who lived at the time the Christians said that he did and was crucified. There's all verifiable historical fact.
Exactly. Well, that takes care of the initial. Now, let's fast forward. Well, let's go into the next era, because after, after Jesus' death and the early church is, going into its next phase, it's spreading all over the world. It is taken on the Grand Commission. You still have, the political leaders, the church leaders still trying to figure out, okay, who is this Jesus guy? He said he's God, he's man. And, you had that controversy taking place.
Yeah, that was, the early part of the church's history. You know, the heresies started to erupt, especially, in the 4th century, for example. There was a big controversy called the Arian heresy of whether, Arius was a North African priest who said, is Jesus really God? Is he co-eternal with the Father? Maybe he's just the first, most perfect creature of God. Mm. And that was his way to answer that question of who is Jesus, because at the time, once the faith was legalized under the Emperor Constantine, you had a lot of converts coming into the church who had, were educated, well-educated from the Greco-Roman culture, and they wrestled with this question, well, how can you say that Jesus is God and man? I mean, what does that mean? And so they tried to answer it, and Arius did, in a heretical way, and that caused a serious problem in the church for several centuries, despite the fact that it was his heresy was condemned at the Council of Nicaea.
Well, it's no wonder, much that Jesus said, though very simple, if you had ears to hear, but at times very challenging, the whole concept of being born again. Nicodemus had a heart. He goes, well, how do I get back into my mother's womb? What are you talking about? But very practical if you understood what he meant by being born again, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right. That whole understanding of baptism, of being washed of original sin and being welcomed back into communion with the Father and with the church through the sacraments of the church. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Steve, we got to go to break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. More from Steve Weidenkopf. Stay with us. It's 18 before the top of the hour right now.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Bill Martinez, live.
And I thank you for believing in me. You've given me your all, and now I'll never be alone. I thank you, you never stop loving me.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez, live.
So much to be thankful for, huh? Welcome back, America. With a thankful heart, we appreciate you joining us. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with Steve Weidenkopf continues. We're talking about his book, The Real Story of Catholic History, answering 20 centuries of anti-Catholic myths. He chose 55 to enumerate in the book. Steve, before we go further, let's jump to the end. What's your favorite myth?
Yeah, so my favorite myth is actually one I put in the back of the book in the section called A Mixed Bag. Mm-hmm. At first glance, it might not appear to be an anti-Catholic myth, but it's actually rooted in anti-Catholicism, and it's the myth that has wide popular acceptance, really, in the world, frankly. And it's the myth that Marie Antoinette was a selfish, decadent, you know, queen who callously said to her starving subjects, let them eat cake.
Yes.
And it's something that, you know, she never, ever, ever uttered those words. Mm-hmm. Although they're always attributed to her, and the actual, you know, opposite is true. She was a woman who, during that time in the late 18th century France, when France was undergoing a financial and crisis, an economic crisis that led to some suffering and to starvation, she actually set up, you know, soup kitchens and helped feed the people of Paris during that time. So. But that myth was later, and that phrase was later attributed to her by anti-Catholic and anti-monarchy elements of the French Revolution that wanted to, you know, remake French society into this great secular utopia.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I remember reading, you know, the conflict there and the tension that was going on in terms of the perception. But, you know, such is the case that people find themselves who do follow God, is there is a misunderstanding. And you always have that, you know, you can say the devil or evil that would want to counterbalance the narrative and have people think otherwise and just the opposite. It wasn't that she said, let them eat cake, you know, I'll bake them a cake, you know, and a little bit different in that regard. So that is the case. So don't be surprised. They misunderstood Jesus. He said, follow my example. We'll be misunderstood. And sometimes that's a problem, because, you know, we can look back at the myths in the Catholic Church, and we could probably enumerate myths about our own lives that people have about us. And maybe that's a good thing, because if there's some myth, it's probably because,
you know, the devil wants it to be so because you're doing some damage there to his kingdom.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you know, if you're not getting criticized, right, that old phrase is, I guess you're not doing something, you're not doing your job. I mean, that's very true about our faith, right? If we're lukewarm in our faith, and then, you know, the devil is probably want to just pass over us. But if we're active in our faith and trying to live the way that Christ calls us to, then, yeah, we're going to be attacked, and people are going to issue calumny and you know, things against us that are not true. And, you know, we have to defend ourselves at times. Other times we might just have to remain silent and suffer as Jesus did. So
exactly.
You know, but we need to rely on his grace to do it. So.
Well, the culture is demanding confrontation in a way, Steve, the way I look at it. And what a great way to confront the culture, and that's with goodness and righteous and noble things. The things that Jesus talked about, that the Bible teaches us, the things that we know inherently when we are in rhythm with those righteous things, it goes well for us, even when it doesn't seem to be going well.
Yeah, very true. I mean, that's part of the Christian life, right? That there are times when you want to react in anger, or you want to reach out and, you know, strangle the guy or whatever that's saying bad things about you or right. attacking you or your family member, or even the church. But we have to always keep in mind the example of our Lord, right? And mm-hmm. and know that at certain times with certain groups of people, right, the Lord was very direct, and overturning the money tables and the money changers' tables, for example, in the temple. You know, but at other times, he obviously showed great restraint, great mercy, great respect for others, and great charity. And so we have to emulate that as well. We have to discern the times and discern the situation, discern who we're talking to, and then react appropriately, as the Lord would.
Exactly. Well, Steve, one of the challenges, admittedly, for me the last few weeks has been as a result of studying King David when he was being harassed. You might remember the crazy guy yelling from the hill, you know, and as he was leaving Jerusalem, and he was just mocking David. And of course, one of David's soldiers says, "Well, let me take this guy out." And David goes, "No. God has brought him there. God has him there for a purpose, and it was a humbling purpose for King David, especially at a time when he was really down and out. His son is taking over his kingdom. He's kicked out of his own home, his own land. His leadership is brought into question. And here you have this guy mocking him. But he stops and says, "No, I'm going to let God handle this." And that's tough. And it really caused me to pause in the last couple of weeks. And it's been cycling, in different issues of my own life. And I'm grateful for that story to realize that things are only happening to us or to me at that particular time because that's part of God's will. And sometimes we don't look at it that way.
Yeah, no, we don't. And that's one of the hardest probably aspects of Christian life, right, for many of mm-hmm. us is to recognize that God is in control, right, mm-hmm. and that we're not. And there are times when we have to remind ourselves, obviously, of that and to recognize that he has a purpose for all things that happen to us, good and bad. And we need to, to accept it. And, again, with the grace from him, through the sacraments of the church, we can persevere and follow the path that he wants us to be so that we can be purified at least partially here on earth so that we can be with him forever in heaven, you know, when we die.
Yeah, without a doubt. Steve, what about the crusade, the myths of the crusade? What was the greatest myth there?
Yeah, there's many myths about the crusades, frankly. And I wrote a book a couple of years ago kind of combating all of the myths of the crusades called The Glory of the Crusades. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the ones that is very prevalent today is the fact that these were so-called unprovoked wars of aggression by Christian knights against peaceful Islam. That's really the central myth that people believe about the Crusades today. And it's just not true. You look at the historical record at the time, late 11th century, you had a group of people called the Seljuk Turks who came down from the Asian steppe, invaded into the Holy Land, and they made life miserable for the indigenous Christians and Jews in the Holy Land at the time. And then they also harassed and killed Christian pilgrims from the West who were coming to visit the holy sites. And they were attacking the Byzantine Empire, and it was a full-on assault, really, of Christians and Jews in the region. And so the Crusades were launched in order to help the Byzantines defend their territory and to protect those Christians traveling to and living in the Holy Land.
Exactly. World War II myths. Let's combine World War I, World War II, and because we only have about 3 minutes left here, and address some of the myths that, came out of World War I and II.
Yeah, you know, the biggest one, at least for World War II, is just that the, you know, the Pius XII, right? That's mm-hmm. the kind of the biggest myth about the church didn't do anything to help the Nazi, or to help the Jews, rather, against the Nazis in the Second World War. And so, you know, that's been a common refrain over the last 30 years or so, 20, 30 years, but it's been thoroughly debunked. Pius did as much as he possibly could to help the Jews in a way that was still respectful of the Vatican's neutrality, because the Vatican officially didn't take sides either way in the war, either in World War One or World War Two, and, you know, established many different things behind the scenes in order to save the Jews. And one Jewish historian himself estimated that, as a result of Pius's actions and the actions of those members of the church who were engaged in saving Jews, that they ultimately helped 860,000 Jews escape the final solution, which was about 30% of all those Jews who lived through that time period. So not an inconsequential effort on the part of the church as well.
Exactly.
In that area.
Well, Steve, when evil was so pronounced, and today we talk about it as if we're so aware of what Hitler was doing, and certainly, you know, a lot of people chose to ignore it, people would wonder why, you know, the Vatican would not have taken a more aggressive stand against evil. After all, you know, you look at the Vatican and you would hope that they would represent, you know, the good side.
Right, exactly. And you know, that's both in World War One and World War Two, you know, what people kind of forget is that the Pope is responsible for souls on, you know, either side or both sides, so to speak. I mean, he's concerned about, you know, everyone in terms of, you know, their eternal souls and their, you know, their actions on in the world. And he wants to make sure that charity abounds everywhere. So, you know, that neither Benedict XV in the First World War nor Pius XII in the Second World War specifically and officially chose sides. And so, but people today want, you know, well, he should have chosen a side. He should have been on the Allied side or this or that. But, you know, that kind of, shows a lack of appreciation, understanding of the geopolitical world at the time, frankly, but also just the whole role of the Pope. The Pope is supposed to be that figure that unites the church, obviously, but unites even the members of the human race in a way that's you know, not confrontational, in a way that doesn't choose sides in the course of a conflict, but always calling both sides to reconcile and to peace, calling out those things that are wrong, you know, obviously, but then also, if necessary, as Pius did in the Second World War, for example, working behind the scenes as much as possible to combat evil wherever it raises its ugly head.
And appreciating the higher call of his duty as the pontiff. Steve, that's a whole new book in and of itself. I'm telling you, we could spend hours, you and I, just talking about that concept, about in the midst of evil, you know, and it's kind of like what we talked about with King David. You know, it's like, okay, well, God has me here at this point in time, and the challenge I have is to get in sync with God's purpose and let his will be done, and let me be an agent of his will, not to be, you know, an antagonist, certainly, of his will. Steve Weidenkopf, Steve, again, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book. I say thank you for your commitment to pursue the truth and to support the faith with the real story of Catholic history, answering 20 centuries of anti-Catholic myths. The book available at all the usual places, and it will be linked on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com.
I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just up the ante. Go right now to buysellmakeoffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at buysellmakeoffer.com.
Hunters, anglers,